Attention, Austin guitarist. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Jason over at J. Scott Luthery. Find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook. I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years, and not only is he the best guy in town, but he's got the best prices and the fastest service. You can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook or at jason.swedberg@gmail.com. Whether it's electric or acoustic, Jason at J. Scott Luthery is your guy. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. And what a week it's been, friends. What a week it's been. You know, I gotta talk to you about something. I feel like things have become absurd, you know, with the media and the current president and everything. It's all just kind of like, whether you like them or whether you don't, things have gotten like insane, right? But they haven't really gotten... I would be more comfortable if they were totally insane. For instance, there's probably going to be some kind of impeachment hearing coming up, right? Okay, so when they do those things, like in the Kavanaugh hearing, this is when I first came up with this idea. During the Kavanaugh hearing, you have all of these senators, congressmen, whatever these people are, they're up there, they're doing the thing, and then the next day you're talking to your friend about it, and you're like, did you see the Kavanaugh hearing? They're like, yeah. You go, did you see that guy from... Gosh, I think he was from Minnesota. I don't know. You can't tell who's who. They all are, you know, the famous ones, like, you know, oh, Bernie Sanders said this, or Kamala Harris said this, or Lindsey Graham said this, or that weird looking guy whose name is drawing a blank on me right now. He said that, or the eye patch guy, he's angry, or the cowboy guy. I don't know if he's still the senator. That's the thing, is like so much absurdity has happened that I don't even remember how the stories ended. Like, remember the guy that was running for like senator or something in like Alabama or Arkansas or some shit, and he was like a dude. He wore like a little cowboy hat. This is leading to my thing. I forgot what happened. I don't know if that guy made it or that guy didn't. He got kicked out of the malls for trying to pick up chicks. Anyway. So here's the deal. The only thing that guy had going for him was an outfit. You go like, hey, remember the cowboy guy? Yeah, I totally remember the cowboy guy. All right. So in these Senate hearings, like we're going to see this impeachment hearing, everyone looks alike to me after a little while. They're all the same kind of person. And they're all outraged when they're doing their thing during the Senate hearings. You know, they could do that fake outrage so that their people go like, man, my guy's doing really good up there. He's got a lot of outrage. So I can't tell one guy from the other. However, if they were to wear costumes, all of the Congress, all of the Senate, during the hearings, when they're all together and they're saying stuff, wear these costumes. Like, say, one guy dresses like an astronaut. You got that guy from Alabama. He's already dressing like a cowboy. That's good. Get like a football player person up there. For the ladies, let's, you know, dress like a Snow White or something. I don't know, you know, Vanna White. There's some kind of thing, lady person, you can dress like, and then you have a costume. And that way, the next day when you're talking to your friends, you don't get all lost when you're like, oh, it was a guy from Minnesota. I don't know. He was wearing a tie and wore glasses when he read the thing and took them off when he listened to the guy talk. I don't know what this means. But if you said to your friend, hey, man, did you see that astronaut yesterday during the impeachment hearings? Oh, yeah. That guy had some great questions, right? Hey, how about the football player from Maine? Oh, that guy was great. There you go. This is how we can get through this whole thing. And also, let's instead of just trying to fight the absurdity, let's just let the absurdity overtake us and see how far we can take this absurdity. You guys have a good week? I've had a good week so far. I played at Ham Day on Tuesday at a bank, at the IBC Bank on 5th Street downtown. Kalu James played at 11. Akina Adderley played at noon. And then I played at 1. They had free pizza there for people. It's kind of absurd playing in a bank, going back to my absurd thing. And so I enjoyed it. It was weird. But it's always great to get out there and support Ham. And, you know, even though Ham Day has come and gone, Ham will still need donations. You know, Sims still needs donations. Austin Music Foundation, donations. All the guys need the donations, man. So remember, even though it was Ham Day, and they did make $600,000, that's not nearly enough to take care of all of the musicians that need ham. So remember them throughout the year. Myham.org. Go there and get involved. Do what you can, right? Did I even mention who's on the show today? I do have a great show today. The Ghost Wolves are on the show. Yeah. I got Carly and Johnny from the Ghost Wolves. So that I'll be talking to them in a minute. I still got a couple other things to say. This Sunday, September 29th, I will be playing with my friends at Cosmic Coffee. We play from 8 to 10. I'll be starting off solo. I'll be bringing up some friends to do some songs with me, some cool people. Noel Hampton, my friend Corey Glazer from Skyrocket and Sheboygan, my man Scott Collins is going to come up and do a song that I love of his, and I'm going to sing harmony on it, and that's always fun to do. And then I'm playing with my band, which is going to be great. I got my friend Kevin Lance playing drums, my dear old friend Kevin A&R Peterson playing drums. Now, we used to play together 25 years ago. The three of us played together in Mr. Rocket Baby, and then we graduated from Mr. Rocket Baby. The three of us quit Mr. Rocket Baby and went on to do what started off to be my solo thing. And that was a good time. And so I'm looking forward to playing with those guys. Gabriel Rhodes will be playing guitar, my dear friend, brother from another mother, and my sisters from Other Misters, Sarah Dossie, the amazing pop artist from the band Dossie, and my friend Mary Claire Glazer from the band Shy Beast. All of us on stage. They'll be singing backup with me. We'll be playing some rock and roll tunes of mine. So come on out. That is this Sunday, September 29th at Cosmic Coffee. It is free to enter. So come on out. They have a full bar. They got coffee. They got food trucks outside. They got a nice outside area. You can go out and like get your thoughts together after I blow your mind with some of my jams. I'm just joking, gang. Anyway, come out and do that. I'm leaving to Houston or to Galveston on Thursday morning. I'm doing this on Wednesday. So when it comes out on Friday, when I'm talking to you is from the past. So if more absurd shit happened, sorry, I'm not reporting it. I'm going to Galveston for a family reunion of sorts. There's a big family reunion going on with my maternal grandfather's side of the family, the Antonettis. So I'm heading down to Galveston to do that, the Antonetti family reunion. It's going to be a big party Thursday, Friday. Saturday, I'll head up to Houston, play with Skyrocket at Last Concert Cafe. And of course, Sunday, I'll be back here playing with my band at Cosmic Coffee this Sunday, September 29th. Gang, let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to hear your music on vinyl, but you just can't afford like the 100 minimum that most vinyl cutting houses demand? Well, I can help you, and Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. If you would like to receive 10% off vinyl cutting from one copy to 50 copies, we can help you here. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get there and the prompt is to enter the promo code, enter promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's promo code HDIGH, austinsignal.com. Get out there, make yourself some vinyl. All right, let's talk to Johnny and Carly from the Ghost Wolves. They have just released a brand new EP on Third Man Records. It's available on 7-inch vinyl. You can go to theghostwolves.com. It was produced by John Michael Sheff from Night Glitter. They just did a U.S. tour. This band is really great. Johnny and Carly have been working very, very hard. They have had over 1,000 shows in over 23 countries in the last just few years. They've had a bunch of songs on TV. They've collaborated with Japanese fashion brand Hysteric Glamour. They will be returning to Europe this February for another tour. Just go to theghostwolves.com. I had a great time getting to know Johnny and Carly. They are fantastic people, and they work very, very hard, and their music is awesome. These are exquisite jams, man. I say get out there, check it out. They've got a couple of LPs, a couple of EPs, this new EP that just dropped a couple weeks ago on Third Man Records. They have a fantastic story, and they're great people to talk to. They were Austin Music Foundation's Artist of the Month for August, and they have a Patreon. They have the Baby Fang Gang. So just go to theghostwolves.com and get involved there. And I will stop yapping now. Enjoy my conversation with Johnny and Carly from the amazing band, The Ghost Wolves. Let's get down. Johnny, will you talk on that mic real fast?
Yeah, this is Johnny.
Yeah.
Talking to Johnny.
Too many Johnnies.
Roads, man.
Johnny. Johnny is everywhere. Yeah. Johnny is to my left. Johnny's to my right.
So the three songs that I heard are coming out on Third Man as a self-titled EP. Is that right?
I think they're calling it Crooked Cop. I think that's just what they're...
Okay.
That's what it looks like, at least. But yeah, it just has... Well, let's just call
it's
it
just
self-titled.
A 7-inch.
Yeah.
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 Let's just call
just
it.
A 7-inch. Mm-hmm. Three songs. They'll be available on
Friday. Yeah.
And on all the platforms that you stream the music, but also 7-inch vinyl.
Yes. Yeah.
How did you hook up with Third Man?
Well, we were in Nashville. I mean, just touring. So every time we went there, we'd invite them.
Just real quick. So going out and touring opened up doors and presented opportunities to you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of the opportunities.
There's a lot of bands that don't think that.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do...
There are different ways, but that's so a way ways. That you get in front of people in places like Nashville where these opportunities present themselves to you. That wouldn't happen if you were just doing this on in your room, releasing tunes on Bandcamp, probably.
Who knows? People, there's so many different ways. I mean, YouTube stars and superstardom through that.
Yeah.
SoundCloud rappers.
Well, here's the thing that...
I mean, there's just so many different ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that people get noticed for, mm-hmm. But your music is amazing. Like, you guys are really, really, really great.
Thank you.
And it seems like I was listening to your music for the last couple of days intensely, all the stuff that you have out. There's been a lot of growth. I mean, this latest thing that people will hear when it comes out on Friday is definitely a new step for you guys.
Yeah, it is.
It seems it's a little more controlled. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hey, look, I love Reckless Abandon. Like, I love it all. But there does seem to be a little...
Yeah, we might be hitting our 20s as a band.
We've evolved a little. I mean, when we started, we just started.
Yeah.
You know, and we just were very thrashy and very raw. And then through the years of touring and just playing together, we've just sort of developed into this new sound, I guess.
Yeah. And you guys recorded a whole record?
Yes. And we're still working on it, but
okay.
we have 10 songs, I think.
We have 10 right now, yeah. So we have another 7-inch coming out after this one.
Okay.
Another label.
Oh, wow.
Two more tracks.
Yeah, because you guys have a lot of label connections.
And, well, it's just touring, you know. Like, we played for a label in London, and they're like a real little garage label called Dirty Water, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
So that's...
Their catalog's really
cool. Yeah, but their catalog's incredible.
So we're excited about that, too.
Yeah. Did you guys always, did you, when you started off as a two-piece, you stayed that way?
Yeah, we've always just kept it simple, two people.
We've done one double drum gig, where we had another drum.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was pretty fun.
It was with his drum teacher in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
And it was really early on, and it was fun. It's funny, we met somebody who was at that show. There weren't that many people there, but years later, this guy we met the other day, he's like, I was at that show when you played with Johnny V. And it was, for me, wild because Johnny V is a very accomplished jazz drummer, and I was very pretty new on the electric guitar, so I was just really making things up, and like, he was just really cool, and of course, Johnny loved playing with him, too.
Yeah,
it was cool. All the Johnnies.
Yeah, exactly.
And all the Johnnies
Johnny.
Rejoice.
Yeah.
So you're self-taught? You just invented that style of playing? Because you play slide and shit. You're really good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I studied piano as a kid, and then my dad always had guitars around, so I would play. He taught me some stuff. And then I actually studied classical guitar in college for a little while.
Wow.
And then I played upright bass in a band with a smoking guitar player, Johnny Falstaff. And that's when I decided, okay, wait a minute, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And he really inspired me. He plays more, he plays the Telecaster B Bender.
Yeah.
Which I still want to, get my hands on one of those. But I started with, I sold a classical guitar and I bought an electric guitar and an amp.
Yeah.
And I just started with the open tuning. And I love that tuning. So that's mostly what I play.
Well, that's how it's easier to play in the realm of a two-piece, right?
Yeah.
Because you can... it can be really hard, you know? Like, to me, do you know... Oh, God, why am I drunk? Sideshow Tragedy?
Mm-hmm.
You know those guys?
Oh, yeah, we do. We've known them for years.
Buddies. Old Momo's buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys, they've tried to add another guy. My friend Jeremy was touring with them on bass for a little while.
Oh, cool.
To try and make it out. Jeremy Nail?
Yeah.
But the way that it was explained to me was that there's you got to cover two guys.
Yeah, yeah, we're both working double time because we're a duo.
Yeah,
it's just there's so much more sound and also just to carry the energy.
Yeah,
so we're just always completely drenched after our shows because we're working double time.
Well, you find tricks too. Like there's, you know, she tunes down and she plays through a bass rig and a guitar rig.
Right.
Like, yeah, that helps.
I tune my drums way down and make them real thuddy and fat. You know, that helps.
And then he plays synthesizer too while he's drumming.
Right.
You're in there.
Right. Well, I try. I want to call it playing.
But I mean, with the open tuning, you do get a wider range, or you can really, with finger picking, you know, you can kind of have that low end going when you have some high stuff going at the same time.
Right, but that's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that dexterity came from piano
study? I think
study?
So.
Piano. Because it does take, your thumb has to do something different than your other fingers.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm some virtuoso or something. Like, I play really simple guitar.
Well, right, but you know, I would rather listen to... you than Steve Vai. You know what I mean? You know who that is?
Yeah, oh, totally different style.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't need a guy...
I'll agree.
...showing me all the notes that are available to him.
Right.
I like someone that makes me feel something and kind of kicks me in the nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're such a nut kicker.
Yeah, I'm not a gymnast, but I do some kung fu.
Do you guys know Kathy Valentine? She has that band, the Blue Bonnets, here.
I don't think I've heard the band. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to send her a link to your stuff. Not the new stuff, but just kind of, I was like, man, she would love this band.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, I love your band. You guys have played over 1,000 shows.
I think we just passed that mark.
You did?
Yeah. It took a little math to figure it out. We're like, because we lost some of our tour schedules like really early on. We don't know what happened, so I kind of filled it in just guessing, but I think we hit 1,000.
Yeah,
right around there. So
yeah, well, you know, here's what I love about you guys is you're from here, right? You're from New Orleans.
I'm from Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah. That's New Orleans, same thing.
Just say New Orleans.
He moved here from New Orleans.
Yeah. You went from Connecticut to New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah,
up here.
Oh, what was I saying? I lost my train of thought Oh, no, is that you're from here, but sometimes there's bands from here that seem to only want to draw from here, be here, make it big here. Mm-hmm. I want to win the Austin Music Award. I want a Black Fret Grant, mm-hmm. which, you know, none of those things are bad, but it seems like you guys have a firm grasp on that there's a whole world out there.
Yeah.
You know,
we were lucky because we were in other bands before this, so that, like, I was in a band that toured a ton, and that gave me the kind of the view of, okay, there's a big world out there, and like pushing your music out to it is a good idea.
Yeah
me too. I was so. And
what
that's
band?
The thing is, we were both in separate bands who were touring separately, so when we decided, you know what, because we'd always be missing each other and
right.
we needed to spend time together, so we were like, why don't we just have our own band, you know?
And then what bands were you in before that toured?
Me? I was in the Crooked Jades.
Okay.
It's an American, like an old-time American band.
Okay.
Music band. I played mandolin and guitar and sang. It was a six-piece kind of old-time music is what they called it. And then I was upright bass for Johnny Falstaff. So
all right.
That was the rockabilly. And before that, I had my own band as a rockabilly girl.
Like, oh, really?
Really early on. And I mean, I had a punk band in middle school, so... But touring, it was mostly with the Crooked Jades and then with Johnny Falstaff.
Okay.
Through Europe.
Her mom and her aunt used to take her to her gigs when she was a kid.
Yeah.
At dance halls because she couldn't get in.
That's
so they
awesome.
They would escort her. And they make her costumes and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And she had these like 20-something-year-old dudes backing her up.
Yeah. Do you know like the Sexton Brothers or anything? Mm-hmm. Like Charlie and Will?
Oh, yeah, we know Will.
You know Will?
Yeah. We know Charlie a little bit from Alejandro Escovedo, so we're kind of like,
yeah.
We've met a few times. We played a show with Will. Remember that? In Michigan or something.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah,
with him and Amy?
Bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we hung out. It was fun.
He was the same way. Like, yeah. I when I first met him, we were teenagers, and he had a band of grown-up people. Oh. And then I got in a band of grown-up people. Yeah. But it's interesting being in a band of grown-up people.
Yeah.
When you're a kid.
Yeah, everyone called me little girl. And it was just like, I was the kid, you know, the kid.
But you were the front kid.
I was the front kid, yeah.
That's pretty heavy, man.
It was pretty cool.
Did you ever cry? I wasn't the front guy, but the guy whose band I was in that was a grown up is Mark Hallman. You know that guy? He owns a Congress House.
Mm.
He's a producer, mixing guy.
Cool.
Anyway, he yelled at me, and I went home and cried. And I remember my mom going like, I think she was talking to him on the phone. Like, well, sometimes you just gotta remember, he's just 16. Like he is just a kid. Like
yeah.
He's a kid,
yeah.
And you yell at him, he's gonna be sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
So what was the band that you toured with, Johnny?
I was in a band called Belleville Outfit.
And okay.
We were from New Orleans. We moved to Austin, and then from there, that band toured for like 4 years. So we were everywhere, and then I played drums for Junior Brown. And,
no shit.
Yeah, just a little bit, and then that was fun. And then Warren Hood.
Oh yeah,
Warren, yeah,
did love Warren.
Like one tour with him too.
Yeah,
so that was kind of that. My side man days.
What'd you learn from Junior Brown?
Oh man, I don't know. That was pretty crazy because I kind of got thrown into it as a substitute. So I did, you know, probably just to play drums and keep my mouth shut.
I have. I grew up in this scene, and he's a guy I've never opened my mouth around when I've been around.
Yeah, he's a little intimidating.
He is not just a little intimidating.
He's an intimidating guy.
He's an intimidating guy.
He was really interesting to work for because he was really complimentary sometimes.
Oh, really?
I love what you're doing. Like, this is great. You're right on the money.
Right.
And then he would just like give you shit on stage, you know, in the front of everybody. Like, that happened once. And so he's just really like, you kind of got the whole... the range, but he's amazing.
I knew there was something about my dad that guy had.
yeah. And he is kind of like a father, kind of, you know, tough dad, I think.
Yeah,
kind of figure. But he's great. I mean, playing with him was awesome. It was cool.
So we got really lucky early on. We were just playing a local show. Remember the Ghost Room?
Yeah,
here in Austin.
Yeah,
just one of our early shows, and Alejandro walked in, and he was just there, you know, getting a drink, I guess, or something. And he saw us, and then the sound person after was like, Alejandro saw you. Like,
yeah.
He was here.
Yeah.
Like, really? Cool. And then later on, he asked us to go on tour with him.
He's a great guy like that.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's not, he doesn't get scared of new people that are happening. He's like, come to my party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He did. He put us on his
party. He does that.
Club. And from there, we got all these other things happen for us just because of him, you know.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Just throughout us being a band, just playing and playing and playing, no matter, you know, kind of where it is or when it is, just saying yes to the gigs, and then things from there, it leads you to the next thing, kind of.
Yeah. Do you hear that, new band people? From playing and playing and playing gigs, opportunities opened up, and you can say that is one way, but it really does work.
Yeah.
Alejandro saw you, he took you on tour. I mean, that's happened to a lot of people in this town, you know? Mm-hmm. Like when he sees a band and he likes them, he does what he can to be part of it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
totally.
It makes him look good too. You know what I mean? Like, he's introducing people to music that's giving, and he's putting people on in front of him that are giving him a run for his money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys, you are. I mean, you're making, you write great songs. You're younger than he is. You know, I mean, that guy's, I'm 50 and he's old to me. So.
But he's got a young heart.
Totally, you know, man. And that's
young guy. You can, I can it's, know him as a kid, like a teenager, just hanging out with him still.
He's totally.
Same dude, I think.
Totally. When he did this show in the intro, it was years ago, and the intro of it, all I could think was, I've looked at up to that guy as a guy that, like, that's how you get older.
Yeah, totally.
In this business, and you don't end up like Rod Stewart. You know what I mean? Singing standards in a bad tux when you used to be cool. Like, just keep your mind open and stay cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's the coolest.
The coolest.
Yeah.
This episode was brought to you by Alejandro Escobedo.
Like how you say that.
John Michael Sheff, that's how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
How is he to work with?
Amazing. He's one of our best friends, so that makes it really easy.
Yeah. He's the most laid back dude. You know, he drinks a ton of coffee, but he's just like
super laid back.
Nothing but, you know, vibes him the wrong way, and he's just like, he's such an experienced musician, and he's been around so many great, he plays bass for all these great bands, so he like, he knows all the tones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's sort of like a wizard. He has all of these really cool vintage things he uses.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's an 8-track half-inch tape machine. So that's 8-track half-inch. Oh, that's almost the biggest you can get.
You know, I don't know.
On size, width size.
Yeah, I think it is the
16-track 2-inch is the biggest.
Yeah,
that's the fattest sound you can get with those dividing that 2 inches.
Well, it's new to us. Yeah, you know, like this is, we hadn't ever worked on like right to a tape machine.
But it's so funny because the music you make is meant to be captured on tape.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And the sound of your earlier records, it's hard to believe that it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that we've kind of realized that now. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty much no going back to computers.
Like, no.
There's no computers in his studio. There's no screens. It's just...
God, that is fucking cool,
man.
In
the moment with the music. And it's just, it's a very creative...
Oh, I love it.
It's a good lesson. Like, we'll turn our phones off and just leave them in the other room. You know, just try to make sure
we're just
all there. You know?
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to do. I mean, it's such a common thought now. It's like, you're so connected to everything.
And you basically manage a band, too, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta...
With my fake management company. YYR Management.
Well, I think that's cool.
Well, thanks.
And you guys obviously, like, the one thing that you need, I think, to do this is you have to make good music and be good. And you guys have that in spades.
Thank you.
And on top of that, you've really, like, your work ethic is just, it's really mind-blowing. How, can I ask you this? I ask this of a lot of couples that come in here.
Yeah.
How do you not blur? Like, how do you... not fight on stage because you're mad about the dishes from last week? And then how do you not get mad at someone at home when you're mad because why did you play that damn song so slow or something? You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
We
it's not like we don't fight. We tour with our dog. And so, I mean, it's a lot of...
That's the guy I need to get on the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wish he was here. It's too hot. We left him.
Yeah.
In the AC. But yeah, he diffuses a lot of tension between us. So, there's that.
It all blends. I mean, I think some couples might tell you they can separate. Like, we don't talk about business and like in bed or at dinner. You know, I think there's people like that. But us, for me at least, it's just...
It's all
encompassing.
Yeah.
It is.
You know?
Yeah,
and we
just live it. It's just our world.
Well, there's the Waters. You know those guys?
Oh, yeah. We just saw them. Luke and Buck.
Yeah. And then there's... what's the other one?
Don and Hawks.
Don and Hawks.
Yeah. Yeah, we know them.
Had those guys on, too.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
They love each other.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mastersons.
Yeah, we love,
now,
we love
they
them.
They were some real-ass motherfuckers when I talked to them about this.
Oh, really?
I think Chris's response was... We might have just had the biggest fight of our whole marriage in your car, and right in our car right before we walked in here, and now we're doing this. Figure it out. And I was like, you guys are crazy. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we definitely fight, like it happens. Yeah, but we try not to let the music create the fights, because I don't know, I think
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it, and I think we've got
you got a vision. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right, go ahead.
A shared vision.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah, we have a shared goal. I think we've gotten to the point as a band where it's like we played so many shows and been through so much trash together, like so many horrible gigs or
sound issues,
just so many outside influences that have wrecked things, and then we blamed ourselves for that. But I think we've kind of learned that it's not us most of the time. It's some, you know, it's an outside force. That's that, at least for me, that's right. When I'm really zenned out, that's where I'm at, you know? Like, it's not Carly, it's the cell man, or
yeah.
You know, the van broke down, so that's why we're in a bad mood, you know.
Right,
it's more because we trust each other,
you know? I just try to live in the moment, honestly. I don't try to, you know, dwell too much on what happened before. But I do get really mad at Johnny, so sometimes what's really good about it is that he oftentimes, well, he's really good at trying to diffuse it and just, you know, owning up to
sure
what he did or what's making me mad and just getting through it, because he always reminds me, hey, we're on the same team here. Like, let's just get over this. And
you know, you wonder if that maybe because you do work together so intimately and your lives are, I wonder if there is a sort of level of maintenance you're always doing on your relationship that other couples that don't work together aren't doing.
It could be very, yeah, that's, I think that's
like accurate. You're being more understanding.
Yeah,
you're letting more things kind of go that you should, you know what I mean? I was married for 10 years and I'm divorced, so I'm always like, you know, and I'm single now, I'm 50, so I'm always doing like this forensic sort of work on all of my past relationships to be like, oh that's what I did. That, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you don't know. And I mean, one of the things is it's difficult as a human being to work on something forever that's never going to be completely fixed or complete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just this level of maintenance that I feel like it just dawned on me that would be something that you would be doing without even really knowing it.
Yeah, I guess now we know.
Yeah,
I never thought about
it's
that.
Just, yeah, when you're constantly with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, day after day, you just, every single hour of every day, basically.
I just want to let you guys know that this session is going to cost you $125. I do not take Sims. I don't take Sims money.
I told you should have gone to Sims. Yeah, I think it's really, now I'm interested in that. Like, I think we do. I don't know, yes.
I bet if you guys went and saw a therapist, they'd probably say the same thing. If you do and they say that, you got to call me, because I got to know that I did something. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm starting to figure it out.
Yeah. It's our own therapy.
I can
make people start bands.
Yeah.
Therapy. Start a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you guys write this material?
We both, well, let's see. We just have different ways of doing it.
Yeah, that's all, you know, manner,
like most people,
ways. Like, I'll write half a song and sit on it for a year, and then she'll help me finish it.
Okay,
that happened recently.
I'll write a song in full, and then he'll say, oh, well, what about this, you know? I mean, we just kind of collaborate in that way. 100% 50-50 on everything,
right?
As far as
100% 50-50.
I was reading in your
oh, it's true. I mean,
that's actually really good.
That's a good line.
Yeah. I was reading in your bio that with this last group of songs, your father was ill.
Yeah,
is he okay?
He passed.
Oh, he did. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. Yeah. I didn't realize it was happening at the same time. I don't think I even computed the fact that, oh, we're making a record and my dad's sick in the hospital. Like, it never really, I never felt those two things at the same time. But looking back on it now, we were in the studio and he was in the hospital, and I flew up there and then came back, and she was sending me demos, and it was kind of helping me think about something else while I was going through that. So it was therapeutic, you know, in a lot of ways. But yeah, it was shitty. It's horrible.
It was a heavy time for sure. There's a lot going on.
It's very heavy.
We had already been scheduled to do it, and we were ready, and it's kind of just had to Just keep going.
It's weird. It's, show business is weird. Because the show must go, that's like the one, there's one rule.
Yeah.
There's only one rule. The show must go on. Like, hey, sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it.
Yeah, I mean, I was very close to my granddad.
Yeah.
And like the day of his funeral, I had to leave before everyone got together and hung out afterwards because I had a gig in another town. I had to go play and I had to play it. It's part of life.
It happens. Yeah,
you do.
I miss funerals.
Yeah, we've missed weddings, funerals.
But it also gave us the flexibility, like being a band, and that's what we do. I could take a month, and I went up there and was with him, you know. So that was cool. I didn't have to take a, like, I didn't have a job. I had to quit or something.
That's good, man.
We could make that happen.
But, yeah.
Yeah. It was
and still... because we were working on the album, we didn't have a lot of gigs at that time. So that our schedule was pretty.
We weren't touring.
Yeah.
So that
made it to where you could be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, then once again, like, your relationship goes to another level because not just your partner in your life, but your work partner is there supporting you and, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like you guys. you guys are welcome to sit
like
here
you.
Whenever you want.
All right.
Did you guys start out going to Europe? Like, when you started, you went out pretty early on?
That happened because... Alejandro Escovedo.
Yes. He took you there?
Yeah. Well, no, he put us on his party at South By.
All right.
And this agent, well, actually a guy from Germany who knows a lot of agents who just comes because he loves Alejandro, saw us and then, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, he put us in touch with a list of probably 20 agents and we emailed every single one of them and we got a lot of no's. We got one yes. So
that's all you need.
And yeah, we've been going to Europe ever since, and it's been growing over there. It's really cool.
That's amazing, man. And you guys are going there in February?
Yeah, that's the plan right now.
For how long?
So,
you know?
Probably just 2 weeks.
Okay.
We just did 7 weeks over there, and that got long.
In the summer.
Yeah.
Like, this is just...
I mean, that was a long time.
It was real hot, and we were just...
To be away from the animals and stuff, too. And
yeah,
family,
yeah.
It's just hard to leave for that long and still be connected.
Yeah.
To your home.
We started fighting was the last week of that.
Yeah, that's normal band stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, that is normal band stuff.
Yeah.
It starts getting towards the end. Yeah.
You're just on the road every single day, you know.
You get a little rotten, I think. Or at least I got a little rotten.
What's your breaking point? Is it 3 weeks? Mine is 3 weeks. At the 3 week mark, usually I have I'm not going to be home for a long time, and I don't like doing this. This is why did I do this?
Yeah.
What is my life now? Why did I do this when I was like fucking 14-year-old kid in Kayla's living room?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is what I'll do for the rest of my life. You know what I mean?
That looks good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't mean to stay that long, but things just started sort of connecting to where it didn't make sense for us to go and come back.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, well, let's just...
Let's hit it all at once.
We're also touring hard. Like, I'm driving all day. You know?
Yeah, it's just a two-person team.
It's a two-person team.
Even there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I drive us. We're in a little minivan. Like, you know.
We're loading all of our own gear in and out.
We're staying in some hotels.
Selling our own merch. We're, you know, it's just a lot of work.
Sometimes we're staying at the venue in, like, an apartment above it, which maybe isn't that great. You know, like, stuff like that. And, you know, if it was 5-star hotels and we had like a 20-person crew and four buses, I could go on tour forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a different story. They could bring our dog.
Like,
I understand that gets hard too, though.
I bet.
Yeah.
You know what? Everything has problems.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is about touring as a two-piece is like, there's no schedule. There's nobody telling you got to do anything.
Right,
so we can just pull off and go to a castle for an hour and hang out. And go to the gig or, you know, we want to go to lunch there. There's just like more flexibility too. So that's it's not as big
more
deal or
personalities in the mix to
ruin everything.
No whiny bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So still got a whiny drummer though.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's
go home. Ask her about that.
And you guys, this is going to be dropping on the 20th. Sorry, it's going to take so long. There's a lot of people in front of you. The day that this drops, you'll be at MOTR on Friday, September 20th in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, you'll be in Indianapolis, Nashville, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Hello.
Hey, man.
That's where the overalls are from when we were kids.
Yeah, cool.
Oshkosh,
we
bagosh.
Wear them.
I'm sure they have like a, there should be like a
an outlet
castle there, like the Oshkosh Bagosh castle.
Yes.
You can wear your seersucker ones. Remember they had those striped white and blue.
Yeah. That's what I
we all did.
Hat. My own train hat. That was my outfit. Man, I need to go back.
My
to
favorite
that.
Outfit too.
I did like a black and white striped one. That's what I want for Christmas.
Oh,
okay. No. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
Making it easy on me.
You can put it on your Amazon wish list.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you a quick question about... I'm trying to make this phone stop making noise. There we go. You got a lot of songs on television shows and in the television. Mm-hmm. That's something that people are always like trying to find. Like my work at the Austin Music Foundation, people are like, how do I make my... songs go out and work for me,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and send me their check like a good child would.
Those are our children.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah,
yeah.
Was it a lot of different songs that went places, or was it?
Yeah, I think it has been. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like selections through the couch. Certain ones have had better luck, I think, and I don't know why.
How do you think those came across? Do you have a guy that is a? Yeah. One of those people?
We have a guy. We have a guy who does that. But we, the reason we have a guy is touring.
Once again,
that's back to the
young people that are listening to this that have had arguments with us at the Austin Music Foundation saying, no, I just want to get a song on a show. It's money, but it's not that much money. Mm-hmm. It's not you don't have to work any more money.
It's well, pay,
if you
pay,
get a jingle or like a theme song, okay.
Eminem's commercial would be nice. Yeah.
The Simpsons theme song. Oh, that'd be awesome. And they're making...
There you go. But like that's huge. That's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that the people that place the music or that pitch the music to the people that are choosing it... it looks strong if you have tour dates, because they want to know this is an active band. That if they love two songs and it's up to this one or this one, but one of them has an active schedule, then that's the one they're going to choose, because they want to work with a band that's working.
Yeah.
So.
What HBO show did you have a song in?
Oh, we were on Shameless. You know Shameless?
Yeah.
And
I don't think I've seen that one.
Can't remember it. I think it was just Shameless.
Is that the Bill Macy one?
I haven't actually seen it, to be honest.
Look at that. Isn't that funny?
HBO.
Yeah, we don't have HBO.
We never got to see this song.
I think it's pretty racy, that one. I'm thinking Shameless.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
well, the thing is, too, is your music has a vibe. Like, it has a palpable vibe. Like, you listen to your music, and there's images coming out. It's cinematic. It's got an actual... It's not just good music with people playing. It has a point of view of its own. You know what I mean?
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know. What other shows have we been on?
Other ones. I like that you don't even know.
Like, we actually had a big one.
Oh, yeah. ABC just had one.
On Happy... Oh, ABC?
Reef Break. It's Australian. It came out of Australia for some reason. It was like a... It's
and
a
another
surf
one
show.
That came out of South America... On Netflix.
Yeah, which we never saw either.
The thing is there's a world out there, and you guys are taking on it. You are taking it on as it is a world, not just like, oh, I wanna play it. I don't know. I can't think of like a bad.
Yeah, it's a big planet.
Dream. Yeah, it's a big planet.
Well, the thing is, too, right now, so many different people are creating content for all these streaming services and all of... I mean, more than ever before.
Right.
So there's more opportunity now, I guess.
Right. And that's why also there isn't as much dough...
Exactly.
Yeah. ...involved in the...
It's changing.
Yeah.
Bread is thin.
Yeah.
White bread.
Mm.
Tell me about your collaboration with Japanese fashion brand Hysteric Glamour. This has been going on for... So they made that shirt for you?
Yeah, this one too.
What?
Yeah, they're amazing. We're really lucky. And actually, that was a show we were playing in Nashville that they just wandered in, and we were playing, and we just knew they were cool when they walked in. They had, you know, just style.
Well, there were like a dozen of these like really cute, cool-looking Japanese folks came into the show where there were a dozen people at. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's
like, now the crowd doubled.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Who are these people?
Yeah, you know? And they had their cameras, and they were just, like, so cool and totally into the show.
Yeah.
And after they came to the merch table, and we're really big on merch. That's kind of our thing. So we have a big table set up, and then we brought our winter, our big white Majestic Dog in, and just kind of they were really into it, and they bought a bunch of merch and all this stuff, and we were like, cool, so nice to meet you, you know. Well, a couple months later, we're touring, and we were just, I remember we woke up in the van. We try not to sleep in the van, but sometimes we have to. And Johnny's like, wake up, check this email out. We just got asked to go to Japan.
You're sleeping in your van.
Yeah.
No, I love show business, like, man.
Wyoming. Yeah, we're in Wyoming at a truck stop.
And yeah.
It was so...
It was totally one of those things. Like,
I love that.
Point, you're like, yeah. Why am I waking up in a van at the Lugs in dusty Wyoming? Yeah, like, where am I?
Why are we here? And then they wanted us to come play their 35th anniversary party, and they flew us over there, and we had this experience over there was amazing.
That's amazing.
For a 30-minute show, we flew across the world.
And they treated us, I mean, we were like the Stones or something. That's how they treated us.
They rolled out the red
airport,
carpet,
put us up in a suite in Shibuya, like in the Tokyo suite, like way up in a hotel, and just like took us to their stores and just let us get anything we wanted from their store. Like, we were just like, do you guys know who we are?
Like, yeah, they're like, take. We're like, is this some sort of miscommunication?
Well, it's a really nice company. Like, it's, you know, there it's like Gucci, Prada, Hysteric Glamour.
Wow.
You know, they're in those
areas.
It's
very high end. Yeah. And they have a bunch of stores. They have like 34 stores.
And they made you that shirt?
Yeah.
And that shirt?
Yeah, they have a whole line of ghost wolves. Because I draw and do art. So I send them images and then they...
Did you do all the artwork like on the website and on the new album stuff? The new EP?
Yeah, artwork.
That's amazing. Yeah, you're phenomenal. You guys...
She's doing it.
Yeah.
And,
well, she does that when I drive in the van.
There you go.
So she sits there on her iPad and her sketchbook and works. Like, this girl doesn't stop working. She doesn't stop working.
You know, and I also have a clothing line that my mom and I do. We sew. And so at our shows, we have a clothing rack. And so they were looking at all that stuff and they just got inspired. And then when we were in Japan, they said, hey, you know, how about you leave some merch with us and we'll consign it in our store?
Yeah.
And that's where it started, and that stuff sold. And so then a little while later, they were like, hey, you know what, can you send us some more images and we'll do this licensing deal?
Right.
And so we started working with them on that. And the new stuff that's coming out, just everything they put out, they're amazing. They're really cool. They have a really cutting edge style.
Yeah.
We noticed when we were in Japan, the style there, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then it trickles down.
Oh, yeah.
It trickles through.
Yeah.
And then it comes to the States a couple years later.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that, Gwen Stefani, where she sang about those Karabuchi girls or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And then like a couple years later or a year later, it was everywhere in the States. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, we want to go back so bad. It's just...
God, I want you guys to go back, because it also seems like you would do really well there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people wearing Ghost Wolves merchandise that...
Don't even realize it.
Yeah, it's Hysteric Glamour, Ghost Wolves, but to the extent of connecting it with us, we're not sure.
We've got to find a way to do that.
Yeah,
I've been working on it.
Yeah, we're going to find a way. It's just, there's a big communication, like a big language barrier.
Yeah.
It's really far, and with the way that they do it, it's not set up the same way as like Europe, for example.
Right.
It's very expensive.
Oh, okay.
So you almost have to have a sponsorship or
a
big following to pay for everything.
Right.
So we're not there yet, but
well,
I'm getting there.
Yeah, you will be there.
Big goals.
Big goal.
Big goals.
Yeah.
So so this EP, self-titled, will be out by the time this comes out, and the next three that are coming out,
it'll be in the wintertime.
In the wintertime.
Yeah. So
like 2020?
Yeah, probably January, because we're going to go to the UK and play for these guys in London. And they're called Dirty Water. So they do it. They're really cool. They do a music club in London. They've been doing it since the 90s. And they've had a lot of people on it. And it roams, so they put it in different...
Oh, cool. You know,
and it's like people just buy tickets just to go to it.
Right, like a So Far Sounds kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but without the...
The cooler.
Right,
yeah. No offense, it's So Far Sounds.
No, yeah.
And they have a store there in London, too. And
yeah.
They're cool. So that'll be fun. And then after that, we'll find a home for the full-length record. So right now, we're finishing that up.
I'm going to build a doghouse for it.
That's a good idea.
Go in the doghouse.
Air-conditioned doghouse. Yeah. You have to have that in Texas.
Yeah.
Dogs are just too hot.
It is too hot here.
Yeah.
For dogs. Well, you say you have a big white dog. What is your dog?
We have seven.
Seven dogs? Oh, you're rescue guys, aren't you?
Yeah. My dad and my family. And
it's a co-ownership situation.
So, because of course we.
Because you tour a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you don't just pour a bunch of food on the floor and leave for Europe.
Yeah, we rent them an apartment on East Riverside. Yeah, we have a co-ownership agreement with her dad, and he lives in the country, so you know, they go to the country and run around.
Oh yeah, do the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're hot, so we're developing a plan for a solar panel, battery operated, air conditioned doghouse.
Okay.
This is something we're developing, so we're gonna get a friend of ours who knows how to sort of do electrical things to help us with the plan.
Yeah.
Well, some of our dogs shed, like they shed most of their coat, and they're better off. But then we rescued this Malamute mix, big huge guy, and he doesn't shed, and he's got a double coat. Mm. It's just super tough, you know. He belongs in the Arctic, but he was born in Texas, so.
And he needed to be rescued, so we took him in, and we try to keep him inside, but that's not always possible. So we're developing this.
Yeah, those are my guys, both. Aww. Rescued guys. Cute. One guy, the Greyhound, passed away last year, and the Doberman-looking guy is about 13, which is pretty old for a Doberman.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see him. I have to rehearse after this, but then I'm going to go hang out with him. And there's another Greyhound rescue guy living there now.
Aww.
He's looking for a permanent home.
Well.
I like you guys. Yeah.
Pull up.
Yeah. We're mostly.
Something makes me think you're not.
Yeah.
No, trust me.
Once you get to like seven, you're a guy you guys will have some dogs.
I had 12 when I met her.
That's amazing. And that's where the band name comes from. So when one passes away, they become ghost wolves.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we wanted to carry their legacy with us always, everywhere.
Yeah. So, all right. So, guys, if you live in America, go to theghostwolves.com and check out there. If you have not heard their new EP, available now. Also, all of their back catalog is absolutely fantastic. I suggest that you get on this immediately. Go to their website. Find out when they're coming to a town near you. If you are listening from Cincinnati, I do actually have a pretty strong Ohio.
No way.
Awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
On this
we're
show.
In Cleveland and in Cincinnati this next
week. We'll be in Cincinnati.
Yeah, you've already been in Cleveland. Were you playing in Cleveland?
At the Beachland Tavern.
Oh, that's a classic place.
It's classic. They have the big room you play in the front.
Right.
But it's.
I think I've played that front room before.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
an old beer hall.
We love it.
Or a. I don't think it's Polish. I don't know. It's like a meeting hall.
You guys are doing like a lot. Like before this comes out, you will have been in like Iowa, but like not just one place.
Yeah, we're playing three gigs in Iowa. Well, there's a barn, like kind of like a house concert thing, but they actually moved into the barn on this big cattle ranch called Codfish Hollow, which is this incredible thing. So we're doing that.
Awesome.
It's really cool. That's the main reason we're going to Iowa.
If you're going to go to Iowa, specifically in a barn.
Yeah.
The other reason is just you got to go to Iowa,
yeah,
man.
Well, it's Eastern Iowa.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the way to Chicago.
When,
so next year you're going to hit the Europe again.
Yeah.
So after this tour of the Midwest and stuff, then what do you do?
Well, come home and keep working on a record.
Okay. You
know. Finish the record and do some local gigs. Yeah, we have some pending gigs coming up locally.
So. Where do you guys play a lot in town?
It's always a debate because we can play at one place or we can play another, and we're like, well, why do you like that place better?
So right.
Lately, you've been playing at ABGB.
Oh, it's a good place.
Because
it's just like a neighborhood cool thing. It's free to get in. Like, you have to worry about selling a bunch of tickets or
easy
anything.
Right, right. They feed you.
The beer is awesome.
Have you guys done Cosmic yet?
No, but we know Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to go over there. Yeah,
we need to go over there because that's a good place. I've been playing there.
Cool.
And I love it.
Yeah, we played at Radio a few times.
Oh yeah,
that was really fun.
Yeah, it's the Paul factor that brings because I'm like old school Paul guy. I was a Momo's guy.
That's where we started.
Yeah.
That's
first gig was at Momo's.
I think it was our first gig. Yeah, because we filled in for Sideshow Tragedy. I'm pretty sure.
Wow, did we ever do any shows? I had a band called Liars and Saints then.
Yeah, we must have seen, I don't think we played together, but I saw you guys.
It was me and Jeremy and Casey Crowley. Like, it was like an Eagles, like, three front person
band. Yeah, I remember that.
Band.
Yeah.
Didn't work as well as the Eagles, but we're all still friends. It was just, it was a tough, that was a tough one.
Who else was in that? Who played drums?
Joe Hummel.
Yeah, okay.
The Joe Hummel. Yeah, there's a funny thing, as you know, Joe's from New York. Do you know Pally?
No.
Okay, so Pally Palladino is also from there. Okay. And so our bass player and drummer were like, hey, dude, listen to this. Hey, dude, check this out. I was doing this thing. And so Charlie Sexton came to see us one night, and he was like, oh, yeah, you got the two Utes. And it took me like a couple minutes. Did you guys ever see My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
So when he goes to talk about them, and he goes, these two Utes. And the guy's like, what's a Ute?
Yeah.
But what he's saying is these two Utes. But it took me a minute, but then I just started laughing. Oh, and he was like, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they are. Yeah, I love those guys. We threatened to get together again, but it just, I think Jeremy's like very firmly in his solo zone.
Yeah, he's been doing that. Yeah.
His records are great. Alejandro's record, I sang on that one that Alejandro did.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you remember Jack Barton?
Of course. Yeah.
We see him when we go to New York.
Yeah.
He puts us on it.
Where
he books McKittrick Hotel.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We love him.
I saw when Paul had Zierzamine up there.
Oh yeah.
We played there.
You played there too? Yeah. All right, man.
Yeah.
So we've been like in the same,
I know.
I know.
I'm sure we've been in the same room.
Yeah.
So many times and just never.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But I am
it took 10 years, man.
Yeah. I can't tell you though how happy I am to meet you guys and just really like I've fallen in love with your music. And I love that video about your van is cool as shit. By the way. Yeah.
That's our main wheels. Yeah.
The van.
The van.
The vanimal.
45,000.
The vanimal. What's that?
245,000.
No way.
Yeah, that's what we hit.
We got the transmission rebuilt
a
while ago. It's still gone.
It's going to become an art car someday.
That'd be cool.
When it's just, you know, when it can't get on the highway anymore. And
yeah.
We're going to retire it and we're going to paint it.
Yeah.
We could be in a smaller vehicle, but not with the animals.
No.
So, yeah, we've got that big extended roof, long van.
But pretty soon Tesla's going to have they have an SUV.
Oh, man. We sat in one.
Can you imagine?
I saw a commercial for the VW electric.
That looks cool
as
shit.
That's what I want.
The new van?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm sure they have, is it self-driving? I don't know.
That's the thing I want. I want the autopilot, man. You're going to have to hire a driver.
Can you imagine how cool? That's not going to be for a while.
It's going to be so expensive, too. But
there's probably a huge list to get them, too. Damn.
I'm scared.
We got to get sponsored.
Yeah.
Come on, VW.
Yeah, VW, sponsor us. We'll put posts on Instagram.
I don't know. We have 3,500. How many followers do you have? 3,500. Click.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know, man.
Yeah.
I am ultra impressed with you guys as artists, which is the most important thing is what you make, but also as a business. You guys have grown this thing and very organically, and it's all very real. And there's cool shit that's happened for you guys because of that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You didn't have to come on the show for my validation. I just realized that's literally one of the most condescending things I've ever said.
I don't ever know what to say to things like, I'm very flattered.
I'm sitting a foot taller than you guys.
Yeah.
I'm looking down on you physically and also figuratively.
Yeah.
No, I love you guys, and I'm sorry that I wasn't around to be around. But let's hang out.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're a very good manager. You made sure I had the thing. No, publicists don't even do that.
Yeah,
so.
She doesn't pay me anything, but I'll do it for her anyways.
No, but like, you know, like you're like, well, shit, when something really means something to someone, they take action.
Yeah, that's the thing we kind of came to. It's like nobody's going to work harder than us ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, or him at the art and me at the art and everything, than ourselves. So
yeah.
Why hand it over?
So you have to have more money, rescue more dogs.
We did, yeah. We'll pay our dogs instead of a manager.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. Is there anything I'm missing? I'm sure there's a lot. You guys should come back again when you do the next three songs.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
That'd
be
anytime, man.
All right.
Yeah, we'll be back.
All right. was great having you guys on.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, find them at thegostwolves.com.
Mwah. Mwah. Love you, Mom. Mwah.
Deceptive eyes with so many faces.
Johnny and Carly from the Ghost Wolves. What a great conversation that was. I am very sorry. I was supposed to put that show out last Friday, and I did not. I put it out this Friday. So, guys, I'm sorry. Somehow it ended up on my calendar wrong. But the Ghost Wolves are an amazing band. They just finished their Midwest tour. And you can find them at thegostwolves.com. They'll be heading to Europe in February. They have albums out there, their brand new EP. I think it's titled Crooked Cop, available now from Third Man Records. You can also get it wherever it is you stream and download your jams. I want to thank Johnny and Carly for coming by. It was really great getting to know them. And guys, hit me up when you're back in town. Let's hang out if you're listening to this. Who knows? Gang, stay involved with the show. You can follow us wherever it is you find podcast, be it Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, wherever they serve podcasts, you'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to another artist or a couple of different artists. I want to thank Johnny and Carly for coming by. What a great job they did. Don't forget this Sunday, gang, come on out and see my band at Cosmic Coffee for free. Sunday, September 29th, Cosmic Coffee here in Austin, Texas, from 8 to 10 p.m. I'll be playing with the band. I got backup singers and everything, girl. What? Nothing. The Ghost Wolves. Get into it, people. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down. Was a crooked cop, had a quarrel with the secret.